It's better over here.
AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free. All on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Pay off up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
Come join me, Andrew Filippone.
And me, Patrick Peterson, three-time NFL All-Pro cornerback on First and Pod for premier NFL coverage and conversations.
Our motto on the podcast is every team, every week, and we don't play favorites. Every episode, you get a glimpse of the entire National Football League with First and Pod. Follow and listen to First and Pod on Mondays and Fridays on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
I just caught that. A very nice.
Yes.
Yeah. I didn't notice that in real time. but that was pretty good by, who was the, it was fun play-by-play? I know it was Sanchez. I don't even know who was doing play-by-play in that game. It wasn't Ross Tucker, I can tell you that.
Nope.
But that was, I thought, the low point of the game. To me, I thought the game was sort of over right there. It didn't end up being that, but that to me was the low light of the game. A zero blitz on Stafford, who in the first half against the blitz, had been eating them alive. I mean, really, and that's the book on him. It's been the book on him for a long time. I'm surprised they even went that way. But everything about that play was depressing. You send the house, no pressure. Jones gets smoked by Kupp. I mean, he tried to knock it down and didn't. Stafford jogs down the field, flashing the zero blitz sign to McVay. They came back and made it competitive, but man, I thought the game was over right then and there, and I thought that was another one, another sort of instance that was indicative of the poor coaching job that was done by, by Jerod Mayo and DeMarcus Covington. I thought that they had a very uninspired scheme going against them. They weren't able to get pressure, and I put that more on the guys up front and the actual players, but not a lot of creativity, not a lot of stunts, you know, not a lot of mixed disguise coverages or anything. They either were back in zone or they were blitzing everybody, and Stafford knew exactly what to do about it.
They took nothing away, and it was very anti-Belichick. Remember, Belichick would be like, oh, we're going to take their best player away. They have two receivers, and you didn't take either of them away.
Nope.
You decided, for whatever reason, that this whole boundary corner Christian Gonzalez thing, that I don't think it took them long to figure out, like, hey, you're keeping him over there?
Mm-hmm.
I think we're going to go somewhere else and have a fun day. And you end up with 200-yard receivers. They get in the end zone a couple times. Early on, I will say, Gonzo got beat a couple times by Kupp, and Stafford actually missed a couple throws on him.
He did.
But you got to go down swinging. This team, we just talked about it, has so many limitations talent-wise that if you have an advantage, if you have a strength, to just kind of put it over there and let the offense dictate that he's going to be a non-factor in this game really made no sense, and you made no adjustment. The blitz, I guess you're being aggressive. I don't love it, and it certainly looked terrible. When you send seven guys, and it's like, wow, how'd they pick up all those guys? Like,
they picked them all up. He had time to look around.
Oh, yeah. No,
it wasn't
weird.
Like he saw him and he just threw it right away. Like, he stood there, he looked, he went through his progressions, he saw him, and he got the ball out.
Meanwhile, other teams do, like, one little cross or twist, and our own line's like, what the hell happened? What'd they do? Crazy.
Drake May, when he got strip-sacked, he had 1 second. I mean, not even 1 second.
He did not hold the ball
that
long.
You send the house, and he had twice that at least. And I just think, you know, in general, it was a tough game. And up front, I don't think trading Josh Uche or moving on from even Matthew Judon at the beginning of the year is some big crime and really hurt this this defensive front. I don't think those guys, I mean, you see Judon, he's not doing anything in Atlanta, and Uche wasn't doing anything here. So, I don't know. The guys that you have, I think, are underachieving a little bit. Keon White's completely fallen off since that first game. Last week, notwithstanding, I was expecting them to carry some of that momentum from last week into this game. I thought they were going to be having some swagger up front and looking at those guys and saying, you know what, we just manhandled the Chicago team and got to Caleb Williams a dozen times, whatever it was, 9-10 times, and we're gonna do that again this week. And instead, the Rams fat guys just completely manhandled them. I mean, that's just long and short of it. They didn't really get any pressure on them at all. Zero sacks. I think there were three or four QB hits, and those were all the pressures I even remember. Like, most of the time, he could do whatever he wanted to out there.
Yep. There was one coverage kind of hit Jennings got on him, but other than that, you didn't get any boost out of, and this is no shot at him because I was surprised he even played, but Barmore didn't really provide much of a boost. Ngakoue, first of all, I forgot that he was even, it was like second quarter, I was like, hey, isn't Ngakoue supposed to be playing? And then I actually saw him, started watching him, was doing, it was like he was brother-in-law in it with the tackle. They were just like, hey, patty cake you, you patty cake me, and we'll just stand here until the play's over. I saw no boost out of the veteran that you bring in that does have a resume and a history. It was, you know, Dietrich Wise was out. That didn't. I think you saw, though, and I told you, I thought this was going to be at least a part of the case. Caleb Williams and the Bears were a mess. Mm-hmm. That was the bit, you know, Bill Belichick noted it quite vociferously.
Yes.
But I think that was quite clear. A guy got fired because of it. You weren't going to have the same success against even a banged up line. It's
their
not a great offensive line.
Yeah, true.
But like Matthew Stafford is going to do whatever it takes to get rid of the ball. I didn't even think he had a great day. He was making some weird, for a guy who has one of the greatest arms in the history of football, probably, he was like, everything was like a spot throw. He was kind of lobbing it up. That led to the Nacua diving and then like knocking the wind out of himself or whatever happened there.
What a play by Nacua, by the way.
He's so
good. That was awesome. No fear, just full on laid out for that one.
They're both good.
I mean, that was great.
All you people that told me, I wouldn't want Cooper Kupp, he's old and he's injury prone, I would take that in a heartbeat, even if he does get hurt eventually.
Yeah.
Just to teach these receivers like what it's like to be a scrappy, hardworking, NFL productive wide receiver, there would be value in that. But the biggest takeaway for me is they have two guys they throw to, and you allowed them to throw to those two guys.
Yep.
Like, you put up no fight, no wrinkles, didn't adjust, and that was the other thing. So they adjusted. They clearly realized what you're doing with Gonzo.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, that's great. Punch, counterpunch. Now you counterpunch. Do something. You didn't do anything. Kyle Duggar, I thought, tackled really poorly.
Yeah.
I know our guy, John Jones, we'll talk to him. He put out the tweet that, you know, deserved better from him. Even on that blitz, I don't like, you're leaving him alone on an island with an all-pro receiver.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I don't really blame him on that. I don't either.
And he made a great play at the end of the game on, I think it was on the Kua, where he knocked that ball away.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
That gave
a great
team a chance.
I mean, a late punch.
Yeah.
He made me laugh out loud. I think Nacua had a catch on him earlier in the game. Tackle, boom, hits the out, is laying on his back on the sideline, and then comes through Jonathan Jones with like a punch.
Yeah, it was
the latest punch ever.
I
love how he does that. and it actually paid off on the later play. Those late punches work. But I don't think I thought he had as bad a game as he thought, basically, based on the tweet he sent out. And again, we'll talk to him and we'll ask him about it. There were the coaching issues. DeMarcus Covington and Gerard Mayo did not exactly glorify themselves yesterday.
Yeah, I agree. When you have Gonzalez on one side and he's just shading DeMarcus Robinson and the two other guys are killing you, I mean, you got to do something. You got to adjust somehow. Mayo addressed that this morning and said we had a plan going into the game. Yeah, we know you did.
Yeah, like, that's like the wind was blowing one way at the start of the game. When it's changed by overtime, change your plan. Change your decisions. Don't just stick with everything. You had a scheme. Everybody has. And then the game declares itself, and they figured it out. Now, I think the plan was terrible from the get-go.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not going to lie there. I think it's a terrible plan. Why would you? Every week we should be having the discussion, and they should be having the discussion, how are we utilizing Gonzalez to make them do something they don't want to do, right? That whole play left-handed theory or I don't even care. If you think Kupp is the number two now, and you say, put Gonzo on Kupp, and then we'll double Nacua. Okay, let's talk about it. If you want to put him on Nacua, double Kupp, take it. But neither? You're just going to like let him waste away on the backside of everything? That was ineptitude. That was worthy of calling around and seeing how you help a coordinator and a coach who aren't doing a very good job defensively.
I agree with that. 617-779-7937 is the phone number. We'll go to your phones here in just a minute. But I'd like to address an allegation in the Twitch chat that I saw during the commercial break. People are thinking that Drake May got up very quickly after the interview was over, got up and left. And they're... It's better
over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to four lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device credit service ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
Come join me, Andrew Filippone.
And me, Patrick Peterson, three-time NFL All-Pro cornerback on First and Pod for premier NFL coverage and conversations.
Our motto on the podcast is every team, every week, and we don't play favorites. Every episode, you get a glimpse of the entire National Football League with First and Pod. Follow and listen to First and Pod on Mondays and Fridays on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
They're suggesting, due to the fact that I have a Taco Bell cup right here, that I may have ripped one.
Oh. Is that what was going on?
And that's why he walked out. I'm here to tell you, and I think you can all, you're all in the room with me. I didn't rip one.
I wasn't as close as he was, though.
And if I had, I would have said, oh, sorry, ripped one.
He who denies it supplies it.
That's true. But I have two other, Brian's sitting right next to me. Brian, did I rip one? He's saying no.
Because I noticed he did.
You would have smiled if I ripped
one. I do have a very sensitive schnoz.
You do. And I think that it would have been, and listen, I mean, I'm not going to lie and say I've never ripped one in here before. But that did not happen just now. I made a point of holding it while our guest was here.
Maybe
now,
that's
now
why
that he's gone. Mind. Now that he's gone, it's you know.
Maybe that's why he didn't want to stick around and take a picture. He's like, with the stinky guy?
Yeah. I mean, hey, listen, you know, we all have our good and bad days. But
you
that
did have Taco
that
Bell.
Did not happen. And I did have
that's
Taco
a poor
Bell,
pre-show decision,
I suppose,
for the rest of us anyway.
But it has not revealed itself to be a problem.
I still got 3 hours here.
It's true.
And we got John Jones maybe coming in.
Is John Jones coming in here?
I don't know. I've never
John
seen
Jones him. Has never come in here before. That'd be nice.
Kind of hurts.
Yeah, hurts me right here. You know, cuts deep. But anyway, let's go to the phone. 617-779-7937. I neither supplied it, did the crime, or said the rhyme. Jay is in North Carolina. Go ahead, Jay.
As one of your earlier comments about the number of coaches, too many cooks do spoil the broth. If this guy, you got to give these guys a chance to play. I think in 1 year with the right drafts, the Patriots could be at the level of the L.A. Rams. And the L.A. Rams are a damn good team. And the Patriots came within an eye's breadth of unseating them. But do you guys remember Sam Huff at all?
Sam Huff. Name sounds familiar,
He was the dirtiest player that ever played the game. And the bottom of the pile, he would bite people's ankles, and preferably not his own.
Okay,
but the thing was, with the offensive line of the Patriots, I say bite, kick, gouge, whatever you got to do to protect Drake May, because he is the franchise. And I just say, protect that guy at all costs. I think the Patriots, it was like an engine. The engine, it sparked, but it didn't catch. It's only a matter of time, folks.
All right.
It's only a matter of time.
Thank you for the call. Appreciate it. I think that's been the theme of this whole season.
Yes. Right?
Protect Drake May. Don't let him get carried. That's the reason why people didn't want him to start. I think that strip sack yesterday was exactly what people had in mind when they said don't play him, because something like that could happen, because he got rocked on that play. I saw him, and I thought, oh, boy. I thought that was worse than the play he got concussed on. I thought that was worse than when the guy on the Jets body slammed him in that game he came into. I thought that was about as quickly and as impactful as any QB sack that we've seen all year. And he popped right back up, and he was fine. So, you know, I mean, listen, he's a tough kid. He's resilient. He's big. And he doesn't seem like he's not writhing around in the grass. You know, when Brissett got sacked, you could tell he was
Oh,
hurt.
My God.
He was down there. He's like, oh,
and
you
they
know?
Would, like, zoom in, and you'd see the facial grimaces and expressions and pain.
Yeah, it looked like a World War II documentary. And in May's case, you know, he's not quite as demonstrative. He's younger, too, obviously. He hasn't taken as much punishment. But yeah, he was popping right back up. That's going to happen. You know, I mean, it's going to happen. I think that was our retort to all those people saying, don't play him, don't play him. He's going to get killed. He's going to get hit no matter what. He's playing football. He's a quarterback, and he's playing for the Patriots, who don't have a great line. They got a center in there snapping the ball who is not even in the NFL, right? I mean, like, well, he's in the NFL, but he's on a practice squad. Like, this is the hand he's been dealt. And it's not the best hand ever, but it's not necessarily one that's going to drastically improve quickly, I don't think. There's too many holes to patch. He has to learn how to work with this, and he's doing it.
And he seems fine with it.
Yeah.
I mean, even when I asked him about the design runs, he said something about, like, I'm a big kid, I can run or something.
Right.
I think he's confident in his own ability to protect himself and take hits. And I haven't really seen even the concussion. He didn't indicate that he was hurt, right? Like,
no.
It came from upstairs.
Yeah.
So,
I mean, he stayed down on the ground a little bit, but yeah.
Well, yeah, but, I mean, that happens in football.
Mm-hmm.
Some people do that just to kind of, so you don't know exactly when they are hurt. Like,
right.
I'll just collect my thoughts and then get up. I've seen no indication that he is really banged up. Look, you're right. When we were talking to Jacoby Brissett week one, week two, week three, we were asking him, hey, if he came in before, we said, hey, how mm-hmm. you feeling? You okay? Like, he was taking an absolute beating.
Yeah.
And we talked about it. I think Gerard Mayo may have also said it was unsustainable. I've seen nothing that lacks sustainability with the way Drake May is playing. I've had no fear that he's going to get hurt, even though he had the little head injury, concussion, mm-hmm. whatever, protocol thing. I do want to – did you listen to the end of Jones and Keefe on your way in?
I heard grab
bag. Did you hear the, yeah, it was a little before that.
Okay.
There is one critic out there. We might be able to go back and find the audio. There was a caller that shredded him, said he just keeps losing us games.
I did hear that. Yeah, I heard that caller. Yeah,
And the guy was like, that's a hypothetical. And Keith goes,
You're a hypothetical.
You're a hypothetical. Yeah. But that was one
Checkmate.
Of the first. Right. That was one of the first, like, really open negative assessments of Drake May that I've heard, that he's somehow costing them games.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's ridiculous. I said to Fitzy last night on the Six Rings postgame show, no disrespect to our guy, I like him. If Jacoby Brissett had played in this game, you might have lost by what I said, you know, 30-13
yep.
or gotten blown out. Drake May is keeping you in games. He's not winning them. In fact, you can argue he's failing to take advantage of the opportunities he actually creates himself, right?
Mm-hmm.
Tennessee creates a massive opportunity by getting you to overtime. Then it kind of went, sad trombones. This game creates an opportunity to be a one score late. Went, sad trombone. But he's keeping you in games.
He is.
He's making plays.
He's definitely keeping you in games. And I do think that there's the whole end of the game aspect, you know, that clutch gene and everything, which in the Tennessee game, even with the interception at the end, you looked at that and thought, wow, what a clutch play just to get there. If he keeps throwing game-ending interceptions, that's going to be further and further away until people forget about it completely. You know what I mean? Like, that's...
Oh, yeah. Maybe if his receivers either look for the ball or try to go get the ball in those situations, he'll be better off.
Sure.
He has too much trust in his receivers right now.
Maybe he does. But throwing it into double coverage at the end of games when you don't need to is, you
know, wasn't double coverage in the first one if the guy doesn't fall down. One receiver fell down, and the other guy didn't try to catch the ball.
The receiver fell down, but the guy came over. It was a
right.
high ball.
He was covering the guy. He fell down.
All right. Are we going to relitigate this? They were both.
I continue to say they do not help out their quarterback with the game on the line.
Sure.
There's only one clutch guy on this team, and his name's Drake May.
And it would be nice if they went up there and tried to make more of an effort to knock the ball away, but the fact that they have to jump up and knock the ball away, Pop Douglas is 5'6". What's he going
to
do?
He didn't try to knock the ball away. He was just like,
he didn't even know the ball was coming.
He was running like Forrest Gump. He never even knew the ball was in the air.
He didn't even though it was there. That's true. But
I didn't like that either. I thought he kind of threw Drake under the bus post game when he said, you know, that's on both of us, him and me. No. And that was sort of the stem of my question. Do they have to see it through your eyes? You do. He didn't say it. I'll say it for him. The quarterback sets what we're doing here. He is Tom Brady. People don't want to acknowledge it. He's the franchise quarterback.
Okay.
So as a wide receiver, I don't give a rat's cutucus what I want to do. It's what Drake wants me to do.
Fine.
It's what Drake sees. It's what Drake thinks I'm going to be. You can put your brain away. Just use Drake's. Whatever Drake thinks is the way this offense runs.
Okay, and I agree with that. But he wasn't expecting the ball. So
that's on him
to turn around and look for it when he's not expecting it is a tough ask. 617-779-7937. Alex Van Pelt had a pretty good day, I thought. Team got beat in the trenches, but you saw some creativity. You saw Drake May doing what he wanted to do, certainly early on in the game, and then at the end. We'll talk about that with your phone calls right after Stiz gets you caught up on what's trending. It's better over
here. AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free, all on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Payoff up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
Come join me, Andrew Filippone.
And me, Patrick Peterson, three-time NFL All-Pro cornerback on First and Pod for premier NFL coverage and conversations.
Our motto on the podcast is every team, every week, and we don't play favorites. Every episode, you get a glimpse of the entire National Football League with First and Pod. Follow and listen to First and Pod on Mondays and Fridays on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.